So in choosing the theme for this sermon, I was inspired by the words of the song we just heard. For I feel in these troubling times, we UUs can be the lights in the darkness that appears to be emanating from Washington. Even though we UUs aren't numerous, I think that there are things we can do to increase our influence and hopefully stem the tide of fear. But first, I'll discuss where we stand in terms of membership compared to other denominations, some reasons for the relative stagnation, and what we can do to make ourselves better known and hopefully increase our impact. Another reason for choosing this theme for my sermon is that it reminded me of the words I had chosen for my high school yearbook in Mansfield, Massachusetts. "I am the light of the world, says the Lord. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." As you can imagine, this was quite different from ones chosen by others in my class. I remember someone chose, "If you look good, you feel good, and if it feels good, do it." Then there was one from my best friend, "I am full of confusion, therefore see thou my affliction." Not surprisingly, he went through a phase where he got into drugs and became an alcoholic. I even accompanied him to one of his Alcoholics Anonymous meetings, a visit which made a lasting impression on me. I'm happy to say that he has since recovered and was happily married with a son when I last saw him. And when I decided to choose the "I am the light of the world" quote in my yearbook, it was a conscious decision to present a more hopeful, optimistic message, since yearbook quotes often are seen to characterize someone and can be referred to years in the future. Little did I know that some 35 years later, I'd be referring to it in this sermon. Now, at the time I chose that quote, I was a devout Catholic, but I think that the choice is just as appropriate now that I'm an adherent of a faith tradition whose symbol is a light, the chalice. Although it is a bit of a stretch to call it a light, since the meaning of chalice is really a goblet or a footed cup, and only by adding a candle to it does it give light. The use of the chalice to represent Unitarians started relatively recently. During World War II, the Unitarian Service Committee in Europe was helping people escape the Nazis. They needed a symbol to mark themselves and their homes as safe. Czech political cartoonist Hans Deutsch admired that work, their work, and created the flaming chalice for that purpose. Today, the chalice continues to be a sign of hope and freedom. Since it's now the symbol of the UU movement, I was wishing it were a term expressing more pronounced light, such as lantern or beacon. But at least the official UU publishing arm is called the Beacon Press. So even though you may not have realized it, we UUs are being called on to be the light of the world. I also wanted to talk about another term you heard in the previous song and reading. You are the salt of the earth. I remember hearing this when I was young, and it didn't really seem like a compliment. When first learning to swim in the Atlantic Ocean as a child, I remember getting mouthfuls of salty ocean water and immediately spitting it out because it tasted so awful. But in the time of Jesus, salt was a very precious, life-preserving, and flavor-enhancing mineral, which could be used as a form of currency. Without refrigeration, fresh meat or fish would have spoiled in a day, so heavy salting was required to preserve it. Nowadays, however, we're told to avoid salt as much as possible, as too much of it can raise your blood pressure. So perhaps a more appropriate phrasing in modern times would be to say that you are the parsley, sage, rosemary, and thyme of the earth. As far as UUs being lights in the world, it's surprising to realize that there are currently only 155,000 of us in the United States, which is pretty much the same number we had 20 years ago. Of that total, the largest population in any one state is 19,000 in Massachusetts, which is the site of the UUA headquarters, followed by California with 12,000. I was raised a Catholic in Massachusetts and didn't even know what Unitarian Universalism was until my brother converted to it while studying religion at Harvard Divinity School, and then he later converted me shortly thereafter. So even though it seems hard for UUs as a group to grow very large, it would be beneficial if at least most of the country knew what we stood for and we weren't getting confused with Sun Myung Moon's Unification Church. That church got a lot of bad press in the 70s and 80s, as you may remember, for their cult-like following and mass weddings. But at least they had name recognition, or more accurately, notoriety. Incidentally, since this church hasn't been in the news much since their founder died in 2012, I kind of looked it up. It says you might be interested to know that even though the Unification Church says it has 3 million members, other sources say it is far less, estimating membership at anywhere from 1 million to 250,000, which would be less than the total number of UUs in the world if you count the Unitarians in Romania. As far as name recognition for UUs, I'd be happy if we were even just regarded with a phrase of disdain from followers of traditional Christian religions, such as, that's such a liberal church that you don't even have to believe in God to go there. Because even if they had that thought, if it came to a time in their lives when they were starting to question their beliefs and perhaps even doubt the existence of a supreme being but still cherished the church community, they might remember us and become interested in finding out more about us. But getting back to the total number of UUs in the U.S., like I said, 155,000, although this total is relatively unchanged since 20 years ago, it has dropped about 10,000 since 10 years ago. This past Mother's Day, I was back in Massachusetts visiting my mom, and I attended service at the UU church I belonged to 11 years ago. There were only half as many attendees as I remember from a typical service. At coffee hour afterwards, I got a warm welcome from those that remembered me, and I asked if the reduced number of attendees was because of its being a rainy Mother's Day, and I was told that this was actually better attendance than it's been. I was surprised and disappointed to hear that, as the church itself is a beautiful stone church from the 1800s with nationally regarded stained glass windows made by a famous artist, John Lafarge, if you've heard of him. In fact, the physical beauty of that church had a lot to do with my becoming a member. I was taking a bike ride through the countryside one sunny Saturday, came upon the church, and noticed the sign out front said it was a Unitarian Universalist church. I stopped and went inside, or tried to get in. Someone was inside and gave me a tour, and then I started going the next Sunday and became a member shortly thereafter. So you can imagine how disappointed I was to learn they had lost half their members in about 10 years. And later I inquired about another old historic UU church in a neighboring town, which had been doing services just twice a month. And they had actually stopped doing services altogether now because of lack of a viable attendance. So this lack of church going isn't just hitting only the UUs back east. Walking through my hometown the next day, I noticed the old Episcopal church my sister used to go to, and it had been converted into 4 apartments. Then I passed the beautiful old Methodist church on Main Street and saw a sign that they had moved to the much smaller community theater building. Now, this area is not part of the Rust Belt with decreasing populations. In fact, the population of my hometown has actually doubled since I lived there. So if I can extrapolate this observation nationally, it appears that it's not just the Unitarians that have had trouble getting and keeping members, but also other denominations. But by comparison, the Mormons are one of the fastest growing religions in the world. Since their founding in 1830, they have doubled almost every 20 years and now have almost 16 million members. Although the growth curve is starting to slow slightly. I wondered why they are growing so fast when they seem to have such strange beliefs and such sacrifices as giving up caffeine and alcohol. Can you imagine a UU church without coffee after service? Or a service auction without low-priced wine to stimulate members bidding on auction items? But you need to take into account the tradition that every Mormon male serves as a missionary for 2 years. According to Wikipedia, there are over 100,000 full-time and part-time Mormon missionaries in the world, which is about two-thirds as many members as we have in the entire UUA. When you add the fact that Mormon families typically have 3.6 children per household, which is well above the 2.6 children average for the U.S., it's not surprising that the Mormon church is growing while the UUA is not. But just imagine if each UU child were encouraged to spend 2 years on a mission spreading the UU gospel. It's really hard to imagine, isn't it? Especially when we're lucky to get a few of our independent-minded 18-year-olds just to attend service. So we can't really count on our youth to help our membership grow. So we need to count on ourselves. In looking for potential reasons why UU membership has stagnated, I started thinking that part of the reason could be the result of our success in gaining marriage equality. 15 years ago in Massachusetts, UU churches, and as well as here in California, were some of the only ones that would actually allow a commitment service for gay and lesbian couples. And I met several couples who had joined my old church for just that reason, after first noticing the rainbow flag flying outside. With marriage equality now the law of the land, the reason for joining our church is less important for some people. I remember reading a UU history that said the number of Unitarians dropped significantly in the U.S. after the Civil War, when the long-sought-after end of slavery had finally been obtained. And Unitarians had played an active role in the abolitionist movement. I surmise that there may have been a similar drop-off after voting rights were obtained for women, as we were also active in that movement. So what does that mean for us today? We have some causes that are still dear to us, such as gender equality, Black Lives Matter, protecting the environment, and immigrant rights. I feel our nation has already moved in a positive direction for gender equality. The jury is still out on Black Lives Matter, and we seem to be going backwards when it comes to immigration rights. Perhaps that can become our new raison d'etre, reason for existence. What can we do to increase our name recognition and inspire others to get involved in our causes and help us show our light? One small way is to take and display one of the bumper stickers with various UU phrases I've made available in the front of the church. So you'll see that when you come back in after the fire drill. They are free to take. Please start with one per family, and if there are any left later, you can take a second. If you want to make a donation for their cost of $2 each, that would be happily accepted. So, but don't let that be, if you don't have $2, don't let that stop you from taking one. I had a UU bumper sticker with the phrase Unitarian Universalism, the uncommon denomination, on my car for a number of years. And it started to fade beyond recognition, but I had a few people ask me about it when it was legible. And it's certainly a low-key way to get the message out without having to stand on a street corner shouting out the 7 UU principles. Some other low-key things we can do: wear your UU shirts around, like this one. Not just the bright yellow standing on the side of love shirts. I remember when my wife Sandy and I first moved here from Redwood City, the only UU shirt I had was from the church we went to there in Redwood City. And I worked a service here one day, and afterwards we went to Trader Joe's, like most of us seem to do. The gal in the checkout line commented on it and mentioned that her mom was a UU minister. Turns out it was our former minister Katie's daughter who worked there. I've had other people comment on the shirt, so I do think it's a good way to help our name recognition. Another way would be writing letters to the editor of the local papers, giving Star King as your church affiliation. Staffing booths at street fairs held in neighboring towns. And I know this has been tried before with some limited success, but I'd be willing to give it another try. So in closing, I make reference to the words that President Obama made famous in his initial presidential campaign: you are the change you are looking for. To me, he was really saying, we are the lights of the world. The guiding light for the changes we think are needed to make the world a better place. And I realize this sermon got a little bit heavy, and there are lots of alternative ways to get our message out, so this might be a good time to take advantage of the sermon discussion area out back. There's a sign out there, so I'm going to try to work my way back there after the fire drill. So if those of you who want to discuss some things with me, I'd be happy to discuss it with you. Thank you.